Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's foggy out there, or maybe it's just me. I'm joined here by our producer, Eric.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We learned a valuable lesson yesterday. If there's a power shortage in the studio,
check
in
everything.
Check everything, or otherwise you will have 20 minutes of dead time except for commercials that we were playing.
Well, of course.
And nobody touched the red wire. Nobody touched
F-12.
It's just that there was a power shortage right here in
it was a gremlin.
In all of our offices.
It was
here.
A gremlin day yesterday because I had problems here. I had problems at church last night. I had problems at home with my computer. It was just a gremlin day. So it must have been
okay, but guess what? Guess what?
We got the bell. We're ringing the bell.
Ring the bell.
That is
today
a gremlin-free bell.
And I'm also joined by my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning.
How you doing,
hon? You know what? I'm good. I'm here. I stopped. Sinfully, I stopped on the way to work at Heavenly Donuts and ran into John, our neighbor. Because, you know, I whipped out of the driveway today. I said, was that you? He said, I know. It was probably, you know, the blare of foggy lights. Because, by the way, we have two different temperature gauges here, 39 degrees or 41 degrees. You pick your choice.
Say
40. You choose.
Take the average, say 40.
And it's foggy out, so be very, very careful. Anyway, you know, I've managed to go through the entire holiday season. And then yesterday, boom, a little bit of a cold. But I'm here. I'm okay. It's not like I feel like I've been knocked down in the bed and I'm glad to be here. Your passion is an amazing thing, because when you're passionate about something, it takes away the aches and pains. So, what I would recommend for everybody, and I always say this, is find your passion. When you find your passion, then you can be in your zone. And it just seems to make the world a brighter place.
The world is a bright place. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. We have first of all, give out our phone number. This is for Vance, 605-4567. Vance made a special trip down to the studios to get a card. He says we're not saying that our phone number enough. Okay, so every time that we think about it, every break, it's 605-4567. Comes right into the studio here. We're going to be talking about a number of things. We've got a guest coming in at 8 o'clock, Eric Wickham from Five Star Bank. We're going to be talking about banking. What's going on in our banking industry? What's going on with the loaning of money for business or not loaning? Some trends he's going to be, you know, talking about for this year, and, you know, the disasters of last year. You know, maybe we should get past that, but, you know, if we don't learn from what happened in the past, we're going to sure do it again in the future, as we have proven many times. We're going to talk about tomorrow was supposed to be Josh Lowry, who's running for DA against our present DA, Jerry Bonito, but he's going to be in court all day. So we're having Assemblyman Jim Nielsen is going to call in, as is Senator Sam Onestad. And they're going to talk about the governor's comments yesterday in the State of the State. We're going to talk a little bit about that, because there are some real surprising figures that came out of yesterday's press conference when the governor was talking about the state of the state. And then tomorrow, on Friday, at our town hall meeting, we have the vice mayor of Reading, Ms. McCormick, is going to be there at Tobacco and Brew from 12 to 1 to answer your questions and talk about the state of our city. So, this is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM with Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone number is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You're on your way to work. You need that shot of coffee. Pull in there. Espresso Joe's will give you any type of coffee, will present to you any type of coffee you can possibly imagine and order. The girls know how to make every type of coffee and make it taste great and at a great price. It also has, of course, the finest tobacco and walk-in humidor in the North State. Joe and Shelley's place at 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, yesterday we talked about how Redding was the second spent the second amount of money, second largest amount of money behind L.A. on lobbying efforts.
You're kidding.
Yeah, well, we talked about it on Tuesday, but Mark Beecham came in here and he said, you know, we're spending $500,000, and it's like the 13th largest spending entity in California. Well, the Record Searchlight followed this up, and they interviewed Paul Huser, who is, of course, head of the Redding Electrics. And they're saying it appears that, well, yes, it looks like we're spending a whole lot of money, but indeed we're not. That we're really simply double counting some of the money. Much of the money goes into paying for dues to two separate energy organizations, which does the lobbying for them. So, and since they count that money that they're receiving from Redding, then we shouldn't. So the amount is closer to $28,000 is what Redding pays for lobbying efforts in Sacramento, which I'm not sure how good they've been, considering that we're losing dredging and there's water and everything else. Then there's people who are saying, well, wait a minute, why are we paying this much money to these power organizations, and they should be doing that anyway? So there would be questions about it. But it's something that when we have Huser on, we can talk about. Or Kurt Starman is, why did we pay that much money? Or do we have even a choice in paying that much money to the as dues to the power agencies? Supposedly they save us money on for hydroelectric. We did want to follow up, though. When you throw something out like that, that we pay more than everybody else in the state except L.A. for lobbying efforts, and really, what are we getting for it? You know, it needs to be followed up. It was. That was out of the Record Searchlight.
Well, speaking of, news, did you know that the Simpsons are celebrating their 20th anniversary?
Is that our next door Simpsons, or is this the...
Cartoon.
The cartoon.
The Simpsons. It's all, you know...
Don't have a cow, Simpsons?
Do we? Yeah. Can you do that, Eric? Don't! Okay, let's break it up. Gotta have
some...
Who would have thought
Simpsons would have been on the air for 20 years?
Okay, I got to tell you something. I have a girlfriend last night. Okay, of course, you know, I always try to nurture this cold. And I was flipping the channels. I watched the interesting National Geographic on the tsunami 2004, with all of the, you know, that was so interesting to see how that started off with the plates in the ocean and how it rippled out, and just it was really, you know, educational. But then I flipped and I saw it, I was watching a little bit of a cartoon of Dexter, and let me tell you why. When I went to Marriott's Great America, I sang in a summer show there called Best of Broadway, right out of high school, and I met this girl named Candy Milo. Candy Milo does the voice of Dexter. So I'm going to get Candy to call in to the station. I know it's so not newsworthy, but it is. It's kind of fun to see your friends that you went...
This is news talk.
It's, well...
Emphasis on talk with us.
Well, we do some entertainment and some schmaltzy stuff and some feel-good stuff, and I love that. So anyway, we're going to get Candy to come in because I couldn't believe it. I was thinking about what that must be like to be the voice of a cartoon character. And anyway, so going back to The Simpsons, it just reminded me of what it was to be a famous voiceover cartoonist. You become, these people for 20 years have been doing these voices. Is that amazing?
You know, some of them, I think, were like Veronica Cartwright. Has been on, you know, Danny Thomas Show. And there's, you know, a number of, they have a bunch of guests that come on there, too. But, hey, yesterday, State of the State, you know, there was, Governor Schwarzenegger actually started sounding like a fiscal conservative yesterday, which is kind of a surprise, which I haven't seen in a long time. But one of the things that came out of yesterday's State of the State address, besides the fact we are in deep trouble, and it's getting deeper, and part of the reason is the illegal aliens that are here. Here's a fact that I hope that people grab your telephones, get ready to dial, because when you hear this, you're going to say, you know, how can this be? One of the greatest states in the greatest country in the world. We spend approximately 11% of our general fund on prisons. We spend 7.5% of the general fund for higher education. Okay, let me say that one more time. We're spending 11% of the California general fund on prisons and 7.5% for higher education. You know, we've had unprecedented teacher layoffs and school closings over the past year, as well as student fees that are going right through the roof and further, and we're furloughing professors in California's college systems, the largest in the nation. Students have protested. They're up in arms about the costs that are going up. And there's a reason for that. They should be. 11% of our general fund is going for prisons.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Don't get me going
now,
on that one.
You know, and then we just were hit with lawsuits last year, if I remember right, that we had to give, you know, billions of dollars to make sure that their health care was adequate. That it's becoming a Cadillac health care in the prison system. When we have people on the streets with a family working 16 and 18-hour days to make ends meet, they don't get a Cadillac medical system, medical care. Sometimes they don't even have medical care, working as hard as they can. Write this down. 11% of our gross national gross product of the general fund, I'm sorry, the general fund spending, prisons. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning, it's Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio, this is Cleveland News Talk Radio on KCNR 1460. Guess what? Friday would have been Elvis's 75th birthday. That's tomorrow. So we're going to be giving some stats and having some call-ins from you, and that'll be a lot of fun. 605-4567 is the studio hotline number. Call us and tell us what's on your mind. This morning, it is 42 degrees, foggy outside. Be careful. There's going to be patchy morning fog, foggy throughout the day. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
Okay. Back to the state of the state. Governor Schwarzenegger also had some other comments. You know, sometimes Schwarzenegger stands up and he acts like he says things like the hero he portrays in those fake movies he makes. But he says is that if California sends much more tax dollars to Washington than it receives, and that the state shoulders an unfair burden in paying the cost of illegal immigrants, including those in state who end up in state prisons, which I think it's
like 25% of the people that are in prison are there are illegal friends that just happened to get mixed up one night after a couple of shots of tequila and wandered across the border for 10 years. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Morning, Carl. Linda, how you doing?
We're good. Thank you.
I just want to say how much safer I feel that now President Obama has got his two-week vacation one day short to deal with the alleged isolated terror bomber there.
And it's not, you know what, on our show we don't use the word alleged. You know, they caught him, he had the explosives in his shorts, he tried to set it off. And
hey, I'm here having a hard time hearing you, you're real low.
I just said that I have a tough time using the term alleged, you know, on these guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. And the whole thing about the prison, the money going for them, you know, the criminals have more rights than the honest guy work making a living.
Well, you know what? I had to testify in a court martial one time, and, in the deposition, the lawyer was asking me questions. I said, hey, whoa. I said, where, you know, he said, I'm protecting my client's rights. I said, what about my rights? He said, oh, no, you don't have any rights. You haven't been arrested. And I thought, oh, okay,
yeah,
thanks a lot.
I've heard of that before, too. That's crazy. I think people get a little fed up with this type of thinking.
I am.
Yeah. Well, yesterday there was the poll, if you want to follow polls. I won't say which show I saw it on, but they said that he is at, I guess depending on which poll, he's at 50%.
Yeah. You're talking about Obama's...
Second year in office, he's at 50%.
He's dropped faster than other presidents have, but you know what? But he took on, in defense of trying to get the other side in here, he took on some huge, huge problems. Unfortunately, he's not doing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, and I don't think he cares,
I hope he cares. Hey, Bob, thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome. See you later.
All right.
Hey, Jim, good morning.
You're on KCNR Free Fire Radio.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Hey, have you guys seen the movie Border?
Oh, my gosh. Wait.
Way back with, Jack Nicholson or something?
I don't know. Have you seen that? It's a documentary about the Minutemen.
Oh, no. We have not seen that.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to come down and give you that someday, and you'd be really just sickened about what's going on our borders. and watching Governor Schwarzenegger the last couple months, he's mentioned, about our illegal alien problem. And when he first got in office, he was, talking about how he had to come here legally, learn the language, and so forth. And then I heard a year and a half ago or so, he signed a bill that prohibits renters from asking your legal status.
Yeah.
So he did that, right?
I'm going to have to research it, but I think you're right.
And I just found that really hypocritical. And I think, in Obama's infrastructure, I think that he should have, if you wanted to pump money in the economy, how come he didn't beef up our border and hire more immigration officers and stuff?
Well, he could have, Jim, but what they're working on now is a way to give citizenship to 12 million illegals right now under very, very easy circumstances. So,
yep.
And when that happens, what is he thinking of? What is the lead party in Congress thinking of right now? Do they really care about the future of America? Is their viewpoint of what America should be that far off from the majority of Americans?
Yeah, well, I called that one a long time ago because I knew that they were going to do that when Obama said he was going to upgrade their status.
Oh, yeah.
When he was talking about the health care bill.
Yeah,
he said, we can't reward these people and, it's illegal. And then in the same breath, he turns around and says we have to upgrade their status.
Absolutely. You saw it coming because just for that reason. Oh, we're not worried about not giving illegals health care. It's because we're going to make them legal.
Right. Are they doing that so they can get votes from the Latino?
Well, voters? I've heard that this is another, this voting bloc that Obama wants to push through. Another name for him is Future Democrats. I just think is that we need to have a comprehensive immigration policy, but the first part of that policy is shut down the border. The second part is start finding businesses that hire illegals, and guess what? Within 6 months, you've taken care of the problem.
Bingo.
I've got friends that who have immigrated, not migrated, but immigrated to this country, just as you have. Jumped through the hoops. It's not easy, but it shouldn't be to become a citizen of the United States. And another thing, it shouldn't be just because you're born here of illegal parents should not make you a legal citizen.
Exactly. Yeah. And one more quick thing. I heard that they're giving $14 million for the border in Canada. Because the people on the border in Mexico are up in arms that work there on the border, because they get about 7,000 cars a day through there. Well, the Obama administration is giving $14 million to a border crossing in Canada where approximately 2 cars a day go through there.
Okay, I haven't heard that one.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, I haven't heard that. We'll look that one up. We got the computers rolling right
now on that one. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call. We're going to take a quick break here, and this is Carl and Nevada on Free Fire Radio. Please hang on, Kay. We'll get to you as soon as this break is over.
Okay, of course.
Okay, I better.
Of course, we know he is and will always be the king.
The king. And you know what? I love that song. Yeah, I like it so much that I don't even sing it because I'm afraid I would ruin it if I sang along. This call on Lindenbaum, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Our phone numbers are 605-4567. Or, hey, you got a computer there in front of you, send an email to Carl at KCNR1460.com or Linda at KCNR1460.com. Okay, last part here about Governor Schwarzenegger. The Atominator stood up. He talked about health care. He talked about what was wrong with health care. He said that while he supports health care reform, it's not reform just to push more cost onto the states that are already struggling while other states get sweetheart deals. And he's right. You know, healthcare reform has to be done. There's many parts of the healthcare system that need to be fixed. Make it more fair, make it equitable, make it easier for people with jobs to have healthcare. That's what we want. That's what everybody wants. But now it's become, as the governor says, a trough of bribes, deals, and loopholes. You've heard of the bridge to nowhere. This is a healthcare to nowhere. He has said that our congressional delegation should either vote against this bill that is a disaster, get in there and get the same sweetheart deal Senator Nelson of Nebraska got. You remember what the deal that Nebraska got through Senator Nelson to get his vote was? That all Medicaid expenses would be paid for Nebraska forever. And who pays for that? California pays for that. Idaho pays for that. Arizona pays for that. We pay for that deal that was given to Senator Nelson, or should I just say Dog Nelson, to get his vote. You talk about how low can you go? Now, you know, when you got Schwarzenegger saying we need to vote against, now the political part is, of course, or give us the same deal. Well, okay, let's go to the phones. Kay, good morning.
Hi, Carl and Linda.
Morning.
Hi. You know, I was so happy when I was listening to the different programs you had on, from 3 in the morning till 6 in the morning. You had America's Morning News.
Yeah, yes. They're a pretty good group.
And I was so happy to hear Melanie Morgan on with John McCaslin. And Melanie's really great. But she hasn't been on. She was on vacation. And then I guess, well, since it's on such, you know, early hours,
right?
I just sort of doze in and out when I hear it.
She has had a health problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had to leave the program before a health problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. And so anyhow, I just thought, you know, I mean, because she's done so much for the conservative movement, and she was the one who was in charge of. She actually was the one that had the idea for the recall election for Governor Davis.
Well, that news program we have, and we had to compete for that one, by the way, with some other stations. I think it's a great program. It's from 3 to 6, and it gives a lot of information. You know, for the people that get up early or the people that have that night shift.
Well, and you can hear it on the computer too. You can go to their website.
Yeah.
And hear it.
It's
too.
Better if you listen to it on our station.
Yeah, of course. Then you're going to have to have your eyes propped up all day. Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a great day and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you very much, Kay.
I don't dare ask what you do. If, you know, some people just get up early. We know somebody else who gets up and they just, when they wake up, they can go back to sleep. So they listen to the radio. And we're hoping to bring you a very special Sunday night program. We are in the works for it. So I just love radio theater. Speaking of interesting, there's only 4 days left for the scoop on poop at Turtle Bay. Have you been to that exhibit? You might think it's gross, but I actually, you know what, the kids, it's funny. It's very interesting. It's very scientific. I know it sounds gross, but they put a humor twist on it, and it's educational. I have never been to something at Turtle Bay that I have been disappointed in, truly. So I'm just laughing because, you know, Carl's looking at me like, well, we were there.
I'm laughing, but don't ever eat those little fortune cookie things. If they serve these little things and they leave little fortune cookie things, don't eat those. The exhibits, on the other hand, are great.
Well, it's interesting about, you know, to just, you know, elephant dung and different, you know, what they call it.
Don't eat that either.
Well,
it's a great exhibit. I mean, it's not just for kids. I mean, do you realize that an elephant processes up to 400 pounds of foliage to his system every day?
Well, there's a lot of science in it. And for kids, well, you know, I can't even go there. But I, you know.
And that there's flowers that smell like dung.
I think it's fun. I thought it was funny. I really do. Well, they do things like see how long it takes
themselves with
it. Well, they tell you about how long it takes an elephant to poop their body weight and improve their number two IQ in stool school and meet a dinosaur dung detective. I mean, there's very interesting things. And you press a button and it makes noises. We got to take a break.
So is Eric. Call Linda Bob.
Free Don't pull
radio.
His finger.
KCNR 1460. Chet, we'll get right back to you after this break.
Good morning. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bob. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning.
Oh, if you're just tuning in, good morning on this beautiful morning. It's almost 8:45 or 7:45. I am so, what is it with the numbers with me today? Anyway, really, it is 42 degrees and partly cloudy and foggy. Going to be partly cloudy later on. So be careful when you're driving this morning. And we've been having a lot of fun this morning, and we would like to go to the phones. Chet, good morning. You're online, too.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Blatt. I have two concerns here. One, the immigration policies you're speaking of. My grandparents immigrated here. They went to Ellis Island and jumped through hoops. They had to meet certain criteria. They came here to become Americans. They were proud of it. We had to send these people back, put them on a military transport. We have plenty of military pilots that need the training. You just put them on a plane and ship them back. It's that simple. I don't understand why they try to make it so complicated. And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is the bureaucracies, level upon level of bureaucracy. It goes from the county, the city, all the way up to the federal government. We have people that are making four times what the median income is here in Reading. You know, people on the different positions in the city, in the county, and so forth. And we need to stop that. It's horrible.
Well, I understand, Chet, what you're saying, because, you know, as we said before, is that people used to take city, state, county, you know, federal jobs, less pay, but it did give them a pretty solid retirement at the end of whenever they were working. And they were able to keep their job, but because of unions and sweetheart deals and buying votes and who else knows what else, their salaries have gone up where they're making in many cases more than the private sector, and there's something wrong with that. Okay, we lost Chet.
I'm just wondering.
But we're agreeing, Chet.
You know, and the other thing too is that how hard is it to push illegals out? It's not. You have to hit the employers where it hurts. You want to have somebody here to do your work, your labor for you? Fine. And just set up a program, bring them over, house them, give them medical care, feed them, let them work, pay them a decent wage, and then take them back when the job's over. You know? And that way we keep track of it. Otherwise, every time you're caught with somebody working illegally for you, you get a heavy fine. Eric, you're a citizen, right?
Born and raised in this state.
Okay, I'm just making sure. And Speaking of citizens on parade, Bad Bob. You're calling from
Good
Vegas.
Morning.
Hey, tomorrow's Elvis's birthday. What have you got planned to make it special?
Well, I'm not sure about Elvis's birthday. Of course, this is in Las Vegas. They celebrate everything in a big way. A couple of years ago, as a matter of fact, they actually rolled out a animatronic Elvis that was supposed to be a big seller that following Christmas. Haven't heard much about it since. But this is where some real interesting toys here at the Consumer Electronics Show hit the street for the first time. And let me tell you, the big buzz is, Carl, how would you like your very own Predator drone that you could drive around just like the big boys do in Virginia and go bomb the terrorists?
Well, you know, it's a little known fact, but I shipped one home from Desert Storm. In fact, if you see this little gold-winged orange thing flying around town, go inside.
All right. Well, the big hit at the CES unveiled was the Parrot AR drone. This little critter is about a foot and a half long, has four vertical propellers, hovers beautifully. Now, here's the interesting part. If you saw the movie Die Another Day, James Bond movie, where he's operating the BMW off of his phone, this
yes.
is pretty much this is the same thing. You use your iPhone or iPod Touch to link with and control the Parrot AR drone, and you can fly it around. It's got a range of maybe 100 feet, but this thing was in a crowd of people. The guy operating it was standing there. It was quite the hit. It has an onboard camera, so you're looking on the iPhone or iPod screen, and it's responding to your motions. Those devices come with a motion sensor. That's what tells it if you're holding it straight up or on its side. It also allows you to play games. So you're able to control the drone with the motions of your phone. So it's actually a fully immersive, flying experience, and they're promoting it as a game. Now, all of us can think of some uses to which this might be put that, aren't so friendly, but it does make quite a bit of noise, so you're not exactly going to sneak up on anybody with this thing, but that's been the real interesting hit so far in the toy area. But my goodness, CES is just such a showcase of new technology, and even though we mentioned Apple, they aren't a participant, they do their own thing. A ton of accessories and applications for the iPhone platform, so that's big news down here.
Hey, Bob, I saw something earlier today where you can charge all of your electronic gear, your phones, your iPods, and all that, and it's something that it's wireless, and you just have to do is drop it on this pad, and it recharges them?
Yes, the charge pad, that was a real interesting. It is another thing that you have to keep track of in your bag. It clips onto your phone, your iPod or other device. It's relatively small, and it's an inductive pickup. Now, I have a toothbrush that works the same way. You set it in a stand. There's no actual metal connection. It passes the current through a transformer, basically, up into a coil inside the device that you would be clipping on. So it's a cool idea because right now, over where I've got my video camera and still camera and phone charging up, there's this octopus of wires. But it is another little thing in your bag that you have to keep track of. Speaking of which, press releases, instead of being handed out and having to haul around 10 tons of paper, and you can hear the trees crashing to the ground, press releases are now being passed out on these little thumb drives. Which actually, it's ultimately cheaper to make these things and hand them out, and of course, most of them are reusable, than it is to hand out the paper copies, because you've got your graphics and all that can be taken and put directly into the press release. So that's kind of an interesting trend. I've probably got a huge pile of these little things,
cool.
They literally put them in a bowl like party favors.
Yeah, are they reusable?
Most of them are reusable. A few of them they have locked down. For the most part, these things, once you've gotten what you want off of them, you can clear them off and use them. The ones from Best Buy, they went kind of cheap. They were about 128 megabytes, which is still enough for some text files. Most of the rest of them are 1 gig or better, which is enough to hold.
Bring us a handful home.
As a matter of fact, I'll be doing that.
Are you going to bring us goodies?
I will bring you whatever goodies we can actually manage to stuff back into the vehicle and bring back.
Did you have anybody from the Reading area blog you yesterday or email you to look for something specific?
I did not, and let me give the email address again. It's BoomerTechRadio, that's all one word, at yahoo.com. And I did want to say again thank you to the folks at AT&T. They got our internet connection working properly. In a town this size with this many connected devices, I mean, it's quite a challenge. So we'll be going over to the broadcast facility at CES. We're going to be setting up to try to do our show live on Saturday, so that should be a lot of fun.
Really? So will you? It'll be live on your website?
Well, actually, I don't know if we'll pull that rabbit out of the hat.
But
we
will be live
via telephone into KCNR. And we will also have some pre-recorded interviews that we'll be playing for folks. And just get a feel for, spending is down, but it's interesting that during the Christmas buying season, consumer tech was the one bright spot in all the Christmas sales. People still want to be entertained.
Great. Hey, we've got to take a break here, Bad Bob. So, hey, thanks a lot for your phone call, and looking forward to tomorrow.
All right, thanks a lot. We will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Bob in Las Vegas.
Okay, Kurt, we're going to get to you in just a second. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Freak Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back. If your feet are just hitting the floor, yeah, 42 degrees out, cloudy skies. Weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Good morning. It is 7:55.
You know, one of the things we really like about having a station here is that we have our fellow citizens, our fellow Reading citizens, have their own shows. And Kurt, good morning, Kurt.
Good morning,
Kurt.
Carl
starts off our Saturday lineup with his show, everything you could possibly want to know about real estate in the Reading area, and then and also statewide, nationwide.
At 8 a.m.
Right and early, 8 a.m. on Saturday.
And it's so informative and so interesting. Every time I learn something from your wise words of wisdom.
Well, I'm not so sure how wise. I can always thank my dad, Ron Larger, for that, obviously, because he taught me everything I know. But we've been really lucky to get out and get about in some of the Keller Williams things nationwide and give it a little different perspective. So it's been pretty fun. And it seems like the people have really good questions. Reading residents seem to be, you know, they're very educated, and when they call in with questions, they're good questions that give us an opportunity to give good answers.
We have a very educated audience out there, and you're surprising any subject that we talk about. From real estate to nuclear energy, somebody's out there that's got experience in it and is going to call us and catch us a lot of times on, well, what about this?
Yeah.
So what's the show going to be about this weekend?
Well, the number one question we've got in our emails this week has been, excuse me, I'm upside down in my house, so what do I do? And that's a recurring theme, not just in Reading, but nationwide, and we can give some advice on that. It's kind of a boring subject if you're not in that situation, but that'll be one of the things we cover. We're going to talk about the number of foreclosures in Shasta County and in Tehama County, for that matter. And then the other thing we're going to talk about is, how do we buy a house? What's the process? A lot of first-time home buyer opportunities out there right now. So we're going to talk about the actual process, what's involved, and some simple questions that people want to know that don't always get addressed.
You know, this is something that the people that have jobs and that they've been waiting to get that first house, this is an ideal time. They can get a pretty good value for their money now, can't they?
Oh, it's like no time since 2001. And we remember back in 2001, we were just starting to creep up, but you could still buy houses for $100,000 in Reading. And that was a lot of our appeal. People could sell their million-dollar house in Palo Alto and move to Reading and buy a really nice house for $400,000, still have $300,000 left for their RV. Those days are back. And so for a first-time buyer that works, and you know, husband and wife work in Reading, or a young family, they're able to afford that house right now. If they're paying $800 rent right now, I can get him into a house for less than $800 a month.
You know what I love about your show, too, Kurt, is that, you know, you always state, it's open line, ask me anything. You have an interesting history of working in Chicago in trading, really being in the money market, and you come back to Reading, grew up here, came back to Reading, and so you're really well versed on what's happening in the real estate market, and anybody can call and ask you questions, and so that's what we love. Thank you for being on KCNR, and thank you for bringing your expertise, coming back to Reading, and being able to, you know, help people, and that's what it's all about.
Well, we appreciate that. That's very nice, and we really love Reading. I got three kids here that I absolutely am thrilled to death that I'm able to raise in Reading. And there's so many benefits here. I love it. I'm screaming to the world about it. I tell my buddies in Chicago, get out of the rat race. It's a little hot, but boy, it's just one of a kind. We love it.
Great. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much. And Kurt anchors our Saturday morning. He gets everybody off on a good note. And then we follow up the rest of the day with some super shows from our fellow citizens here in Reading. Thanks a lot, Kurt, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
You know, it's
we got Kurt, we have Lana Burke, we have Dr. Trudy Pratt, we have Nancy Sutton Pierce, we have Boomer Tech with Bob and Brenda. We got Home Helpers, and we're also expanding our Saturday show list over here in the next month or two. We're going to be adding more shows from people that want to have their shows on KCNR 1460.
And things that information that we think that will enrich and enhance Reading, the Reading and the Shasta County area, and outlining areas as well. It's all informational, and we love that it's open line because everybody's open to take calls, which we are this morning. 605-4567 is our hotline. Coming up, we have Eric Woodstrom from Five Star Bank, and let me tell you something. If you've got a banking, money, anything you want to ask, please give a call because that's what we've got the banker here for, to just answer the tough questions.
This is KCNR Shasta Reading. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and you know what? We have a dog. And we like the dog. Cats? There's cats that come into my yard and visit.
Not just your yard.
Our yard. And leave little presents.
They leave little presents. You know what happens is they urinate. I was going to say pee-pee. But anyway, so you know, either one, you get the idea. And they go in our plants.
And they've got collars on. The people across the street own these cats. You know?
And what happens is, when it rains, you can smell it. And I, you know, what happens with people who are cat owners, love you, but guess what? People, I've got two thoughts going on here. First of all, you don't realize that your house smells like cats a lot of times because you get acclimated to the smell. It's like anything else. If you're around paint or anything else, you get that it smells like that. But you really need to, I don't know where's this rule that you can let your cats roam. Because what happens if you leave your cat outside in the day, they usually don't go around your house. They like to roam, and we get a lot of that. And so we are really big cat lovers, but we are dog lovers. But that doesn't mean that we might not pet your cat. Anyway, kitty litter. Remember when Ray John was here and was talking about kitty litter?
Yeah. He said what they're using is
the pellets.
The wood pellets that you burn in stoves, that they're coming out with new stuff that makes it work. Okay.
Had to go
I
there.
I just wanted to mention the fact we had a dog. I didn't realize we were going to be going that far.
Well.
We have a guest. And try and follow that one, Eric. Eric Woodstrom, Five Star Bank. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You know, Eric has been on our show before, and we've discussed, you know, the banking industry. We've discussed, you know, what's happened and where we're going. But, Eric, last year was not a great year for banks.
That's true, Carl. I think 2009 has to go in the books as one of the least worst years in banking for the industry overall since I've been working, and that's been quite a while. We had record defaults in mortgages. We had bankruptcies, businesses going under, stock market crashing, and it all impacted banks. And just a tough year. It's good for the industry to put 2009 behind us and look forward to 2010.
Well, you know, a big question that a lot of people have is, hundreds of billions of dollars was funneled into the banking system. The question is, does anybody keep track of this? And how much of this was just frittered away?
Boy, that's a great question, and it's a complex answer. You know, the bank bailout, the bank industry bailout that came last year, where the hundreds of billions of dollars were given in the form of TARP and other assistance to banks, started out as a good idea, and as a lot of things happen in government and politics, quickly turned into, you know, who can grab the money the fastest and take it as fast as they can. The initial thought was to find good banks and provide them more capital to help take over bad banks. That quickly came to bailing out banks that were too big to fail and providing them an unfair advantage to the rest of us that decided not to take government money. We had banks that were failing, that were bailed out by the government, that without restrictions on the money, money was spent, and after the fact, the government tried to develop rules for them and reporting, but the cat was out of the bag.
Well, go ahead. We've got to take a break here. 605-4567. Pick up the phone. Our guest today is Eric Woodstrom. If you've got a question that's just burning, this is your time to ask the banker. Anything. Just go ahead. 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Carla Linda Bott here. It's 8:13 in the morning, currently 42 degrees. How about we just start off at the top with going to the phones? Good morning, Charles. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. Has the guest seen this so-called 10 and 10 thing that's going to be discussed at the city council this afternoon? Because one of those ideas calls for the city to sell impact fee deferral debt to local banks under what's called an impact fee deferral program. They're going to be talking about it at a workshop at 3 o'clock this afternoon, but it's right here pages 4, 5, and 6 of the staff report.
Yeah, it's we're talking about the Radical 10
right.
Comments. Yeah,
and it calls for the first of the seven ideas listed calls for local banks to buy up these loans.
Yeah. Okay, we'll discuss that.
What does the guest Mr.
Eric Woodstrom is our guest
right.
today.
What does he think of that idea?
Okay, Charles, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Thanks, Charles. Yeah, I have had a chance to look at the Radical 10 or the 10 ideas that are being thrown around as far as helping improve several groups in the city's ideas that help to improve the local economy. And one of them is to defer fees. Originally, it was just a fee deferral, and it's now in this more recent staff study and iteration that's going to be discussed this afternoon, a concept of deferring the fees and having a second loan or that then will be sold to the banks. The devil's in the details. We haven't seen the details of it yet. The city hasn't included us, certainly. We've been active with the city on a couple other projects, but not in this one. And, we would have maybe some interest in it. It comes down to, all of our lending decisions, are we... do we have a responsible party paying back the loan? And but I think the devil's going to be in the details as this gets hashed out. You know, the idea is to help stimulate home construction. And personally, when I look at this proposal and the 10 and 10, it doesn't really lower the cost. It just defers the cost to a later date. So the cost to the homeowner isn't any different. I think that we need to take some other steps to lower fees in this city to stimulate lower cost housing and sales to people that can qualify.
Yeah, here. You know, we need to do something about these, you know, these egregious fees that we're getting, you know, that people keep adding on. You know, we saw where a business had bought some property here for $160,000, and was hit with $85,000 in fees. So what they said was, I'm not buying the property, we're not building the business. I mean, that's just way too much for us to handle right now. Anyway, but Kent Dagg, he's going to be on our show next week, I believe next Wednesday. We're going to be talking these radical ideas, you know, talking about raising taxes. And I think got some other ideas in there I think could be workable. We plan on visiting and seeing that workshop today.
No, that ought to be a good show. And Kent has some ideas, and I know he's had input from the Chamber of Commerce and other entities on this 10 and 10. And you know, as I look through some of them seem to be kind of out there, but some of them have some merit to it. And at the end of the day, what we need to do is stimulate job growth. And job growth and will stimulate economic growth and increase buying of consumer products and retail products and taxes, and it all just rolls. That's what our economy has been founded on. So if we can get programs that the city can endorse and to help job growth, benefits all of us.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Credit cards.
Yes.
It's after the holidays. And did you hear about this guy? I'm not sure where he is. I think in Dallas. He is suing American Express or somebody because of the fact that they did the, it came in the mail where they raised his limit, or not his rate, raised the fees.
Yep.
And he's suing them because of raising their fees I don't know how much, it's not just 2%, it's such a high percentage that he said that they are affecting his lifelong credit.
Yes. Now, the credit card industry has just run wild the last few years. Not first, it was providing a lot of easy credit for people, and then they've developed policies and rules to try and help them get out of the mess they created. And one of them is just this, is for those consumers that have good credit, have been paying their bills, and for one reason or another, maybe they went over their limit a little bit, or they were a few minutes late, or a few days late, they jacked the rates up.
Yeah,
yes,
literally a few minutes late.
Because
it comes in after a certain time, and they power stamp them, your rates go up 20%.
Or you put on electronic bill pay, and something happens, it's a day late, they jack the rate up. New laws are coming into effect the first quarter of 2010 that'll help minimize that, but the fear is what's going to happen is there's just going to be a round of cancellations on credit cards as the credit card companies try and do damage control.
Well, you know, I have a feeling is that they'll get bailed out by a taxpayer's money anyway.
I think
just like everything else. We've got to take a break here. This is Carl Indebott. Our guest is Eric Whitstone from Five Star Bank. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, but we'll get back to y'all as soon as these messages.
On KCNR 1460 AM, this is Carl and Linda Bott, and our guest is Eric Whitstrom. Let's go to the phones. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, you two. Thanks for everything you guys do, and Charles, thanks for your information.
Well, anything that we can do to get the word out, that's what we're doing. You got a question for Eric?
Yeah. It was just touched bases on the deal with the credit card thing, and a heads up to your listeners about the white-collar crimes that are going on with business people or general people in themselves. 25 years of business, I've dealt with several credit card companies. Businesses at times move money from 0% cards to, you know, lower interest stuff, and people have done that for years. It started with one of the bigger banks, Chase Bank, that gave me a 0% loan for a year guaranteed. After 2 months, they changed that rate to 15.99%. I tried to negotiate with them. They wouldn't do it. I cashed it out and paid it off. Local dentist here. I took out a $17,000 loan for dental work at a fixed rate. What they do is we send our accountant sends our checks out 15 days early to pay all of our bills. They always seem to post-date this bill one day late. And we pay dozens and dozens of bills every single month, and we never have an issue. But yet with this one company, they always seem to post-date this bill one day late. Our interest rate on that $17,000 loan went from 10 to 19. And yesterday when I called and they said the check was postdated one day late, they in turn jumped my rate to 33%.
Wow.
Wow.
So I cashed the loan out. So I told the gal on the phone, I says, what is my payoff today? I'm paying this stupid thing off. I'm not playing this game with you guys. Every time you're postdating this thing a day late. Well, it's the Christmas holidays. I said, well, why don't you join in the Christmas spirit and show some mercy on these people. We sent that check 15 days earlier, but it was postdated one day late, so it was our third late charge, so they jumped me up to 33%.
No, that's just that's just wrong.
See that I can understand the outrage.
If you've got a credit card,
33%.
Even if you're paying it off, I understand now they can go out and look at other things. They can see. I know this may sound strange. You know they look at the places you shop at, and if you go to someplace like a dollar store, I know this sounds funny. I've heard that can impact on your credit because of where you're shopping. I don't know if that's true, but
Eric,
I saw that in my paper.
What can this gentleman, Rick, do about a 33%? I mean, is there anything you can do?
Well, there's things you can do, and you have to decide whether it's worth your time and effort to do it. I think what you did is the best thing to do, is you just approach them, you pay it off, and if you can, and don't do business with them again, because those sort of business practices are unethical, unmoral, and probably illegal.
Okay, and Charles, you're right. And I called the local dentist that did my work, and I raised heck with him over it. And I said, if they charge me, now listen, I called them and said, what is my payoff today? And I knew what it was because I had the statement in front of me. It was $13,500. I said, I'm going to send you a payoff check today. You know what the girl on the phone from Chase or Care Credit said? She said, we're sorry, sir. We're not going to tell you what your payoff is because now we're going back to day one on that $17,500 loan, and you're going to be charged 33% interest on it. And I said, no way. You know, you imagine what I said over the phone. I can't say on the radio.
So they're going to charge it for the whole thing?
They're going to retroactive charge you the rate. Well, that's
what
ridiculous.
What I did is I called the dental office and raised heck with them about it and said, look, I did send them a next day air check for $13,000, I added up the interest on what it was at that time. It was $13,700 and something payoff. I sent him the check and said, here's your payoff. Called the dentist and said, if there's any more charges to me, you guys are going to deal with it because you're selling this company as a finance company for people to get credit on dental work.
Well,
and I'll tell you one other thing real quick. If people call in and let's say you don't have the money, you're in bankruptcy, you're losing your home, you can call these companies and negotiate a settlement with them. So if I owe you $5,000, call in Linda and say, look, I'm broke. I want to pay you guys some money. Will you accept $2,000? You'll say, sure, Rick, we'll take it. But if I call up and try to tell the company, hey, can I negotiate my payoff? They have your credit right in front of them, and they know that the times have changed the way these computers work. They've got your credit right in front of their face, and they can say, well, Mr. Jones is lying. He has three homes. He's paying all his vehicle loans on time. Sorry, Mr. Jones, we can't negotiate that payoff with you. They know now. It is tough. Or they transfer you from person to person until you get to that last line that says, sorry, all the customer services are not available, until you get so frustrated after 40 minutes you hang up.
You know,
pay them off and don't get credit.
If there's one thing that the legislation and legislators did back on the East Coast and D.C., it was to try and bring some sanity to the credit card companies. But I tell you what, it's not enough. There's got to be a lot more legislation on that. You know, credit cards, if people use a credit card, that's fine. But they cannot be taken advantage of. I mean, I defy anybody to read their contracts and understand it unless you are a lawyer with experience in that field. Rick, great question and great comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys, and great job you're doing. I'm a warrior for you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'm getting to the point, too, where I do like to be able to pull. You can't do anything without a credit card when it comes to hotels and making reservations and a car, renting a car. You have to, or buying tickets, you have to use your credit card. But, Eric, I'm at the point where I feel like I'm being lied to. when they say it's going to be something, and then to have, you know, like it's a bait and switch where there's these percentages. And I know I'm not the only one that feels outraged. I'm an American. We pay our, we pay our bills. We try to do the right thing, and we get somebody who can't speak English when we try to call in. And like what Rick said, we're on hold for 40 minutes, and you're just blood red afterwards.
Yeah, and the other piece to this is the biggest credit card companies are also the biggest recipients of the bailout money, and it's just, you know, it's a black eye for the banking industry. It's a black eye for the financing industry. Every day we spend time trying to convince, you know, people that not all banks are that way.
Well, that's true, and that's, you know, it's unfortunate that when people think of banks, they think of people trying to take your money, or, you know, trying to take advantage of them, and they're not all like that. I mean, you know, our local banks, you know, many of whom did not take money because they realize that, you know, this is, once you take it, you know, you talk about a slippery slope. Hey, we've got to take a break. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Eric Wickstrom from Five Star Bank. This is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Good morning. 8:31 in the morning. 41 degrees, cloudy out, be careful. It's going to be scattered clouds today, a little fog. 605-4567. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination. And like I said, we're taking your call, 605-4567. Now's your chance. Take the opportunity to call our special guest, Eric Wickstrom from Five Star Bank.
You know, Eric, we talked about, you know, how bad it was in the last year, and about how hundreds of billions of dollars were given to these banks with no strings attached. And many of the banks, when asked under oath, where did the money go to, couldn't even tell us. It just went in kind of into a big general fund and was just disappeared like that. You know, that was last year. You know, I hate it. I hate what happened. I hate the fact that we were taken advantage of by both parties. And now, though, this is 2010. What do we have to look forward to in 2010? More of the same, or is something going to change here?
I think overall something's going to change. We see a lot of sparks of positive news. We see businesses getting back on their feet. We've just in the first week of the year here had questions and inquiries from some of our customers and some other business people in town about financing growth, acquiring a building to grow, moving out of their high rent to a building that they own, that they can then own. I think we're going to see, you know, some positive movements in both our economy and in banking in 2010. We're certainly going to see rates go up. I think everybody expects rates to go up to some extent. If you ask 10 experts, you'll get 10 different answers on how much, but I think, you know, we've been at historical lows on long-term mortgage rates and on lending rates for the last 2-3 years, and we're going to see some movement on that. So,
are you talking about those rates going up? Explain rates going up.
There's a number of different rates that we as bankers use. Some of it is the amount of money we pay for deposits. People come in, they have money they want put in a certificate of deposit or a money market account. And those are generally short-term rates, 6 to 12 months. Those rates will probably start going up in second and third quarter this year. But already we're seeing long-term mortgage rates creep up. The fourth quarter of 2009, they were at 5 or just below 5%. And in the first quarter, the first week of the year, they've bumped up a little bit to 5.25, 5.125. So I think we'll see some movement in the long-term rates. We'll probably see some movement in short-term rates too, on borrowing and on and for those savers that have money and rely on the income on the deposit side.
Well, when that happens, lower rates usually mean kind of a boost to the economy. If they start going up, is that going to slow a already slow economy?
It really depends on the rate of increase. I think that there's room for interest rates to go up without having significant impact. If there is a big fear that once we get through this economic recession, and that inflation is going to explode. And if inflation explodes, we're going to have significant interest rate increases, and that will impact
as
commerce.
We did back when Carter was president.
Yes.
We went up to 18 to 20% interest rates. To buy
yep.
a house.
Yes.
I mean, that was, you know, I actually had a chance, you know, to buy a house for the first time. I was making enough money, and interest rates were 18%, so it kind of put me out of the housing market there.
Yep.
What do you see, then, for the future? I know it's hard to say. I know we talked about the interest rates going up, possibly, and then inflation. What about commercial real estate? Is that part of your repertoire here?
Yeah, we... At Five Star Bank, we specialize, if you will, on providing financing for small business, individuals, investment needs, and in commercial real estate. And 2009 was a tough year for commercial real estate. And I think we don't see much movement in 2010. What we're seeing is properties coming to market at prices that you can't build them for. So we have buyers on the there are a number of buyers on the sidelines waiting for that great deal, and those great deals I think will come up in 2010. A great example is the property across from City Hall that the city made an offer on. It didn't go through, but they were buying that. They were offering to buy that at significantly less than the cost to build, and that's what we'll probably see for in 2010 is properties changing hands at prices that are relatively low. We're going to see, you know, lease rates and rental rates continue to be low because in our market we have an oversupply of commercial real estate relative to businesses, as businesses have contracted the last couple of years.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of your bank and what I think that is what attracted us to you and having you be a local guy here. To share with our listeners, and you know we're all about being local and
yep.
going local and not shopping in the big stores. Even though sometimes you have to, it's really about staying local.
Right. Well, our bank started 10 years ago. Started in 1999 with some businessmen in Sacramento, originally opened offices in Sacramento. We've since then expanded our offices both in the Sacramento area and then up here. We opened up here about 3 years ago. And the team of bankers that we have here are bankers that have been in the Reading market for a long time. I've been here for almost 10 years, or a little over 10 years now. Time flies. We've got some others that have been here 15, 20 years in banking. And we were formed, and our focus is on working with the local business person to help them either get their idea from an idea to reality, or through helping them provide financing, getting them capital sources, working on structuring financing to make it so that they can afford to open their business expansion, real estate acquisition on the commercial side, on the income producing side. One thing we didn't do was get involved in residential development and speculation on the land side, and that's helped us weather this economic and banking industry storm better than some. And, you know, we pride ourselves in spending time getting to know the business owner, getting to know their plan, helping them be successful.
Well, you know, and it's not a secret to anybody that's listening to our show is that when we decided to go into business ourselves, and it was going to take a small business loan, is that we went to Five Star Bank. And the main reason, of course, is that we've known Eric for a while, even before any of this came up. So we knew about the bank. This isn't an infomercial for Five Star Bank, by the way. We just need everybody to know. Is
you want to share it?
That we share is that we went that.
In these
we
times.
We saw that happening. You know that they actually sat down and they talked to us, and we were people, and they looked at our plan. And they saw a chance of success here, a great chance of success, by the way, and have supported us in this. But I want to get that out to everybody. And one of the things is that we want our neighbors that you think, do I have a chance? Can I start this business? Can I expand my business? There's places in town. You know, Five Star is not the only place they do it. But you need, if you're looking at that time, let's go to our local banks. They care about it. You know, they're our neighbors. They're not somebody that all the profits go straight back up, and then you read in the papers is that they're not going to loan you money, yet they just got $200 billion of taxpayer money to keep them walking, keep their little doors open. Well, you know, our local banks are not like that. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is Carl Lindebot, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Eric Wickstrom from Five Star Bank. Eric is going to be, we're going to, in fact, have a regular guest. You know, Eric will be on once a month, be talking banking in our area, in our region. But we're also going to have different guests on once a month so that we can get ideas from different groups of people on for our neighbors. Also, we're going to be showcasing businesses. We're going to be starting that next week. That once a week, a local business will be showcased on our show. We'll give them a segment there, talk about their business, talk about what they provide, their services, and you know what their future is, and how they establish their business. You know, it's just a way for us to help spread the word about our local businesses. Eric, I've got this great idea. I'm going to come to you with it because I know that you're going to sit down and listen to me. How does somebody start a business or expand a business?
Well, that's a great question, Carl. First, you have to have a great idea, and you have to have the experience to sort through to make sure that you can make money at it. At the end of the day, you need to make money to have a successful business. You need to have a business plan. There's a number of different sources of information on business plans, sources in the community to help develop business plans. The Small Business Smart Resource Center will help you and develop a business plan, both a one-year and a five-year and a 10-year business plan. And then you need to have capital. You need to have some backing of your own money. The banks don't give you everything. The banks lend you money and expect to get it paid back. And you as a business owner are taking risk. You need to put capital at risk. And for that you get rewarded of owning your own business and hopefully being very financially successful, hiring more people. But to get off the ground, you need an idea, you need a business plan, and you need capital.
Well, the business plan, and it's that you can get those online. There's different ways. I know that SCORE,
yep,
which is retired executives. Give classes through through the Better Business Bureaus, isn't it, or the SBA?
Yes.
Yep. Give classes. If you ever go to the SBA website, they've got all types of templates there that you can use to do business plans. But then, even if it's a primitive business plan, and they come in with the idea, a good institution will work with them and help them refine this. But
yeah, we'll spend time with the business owner. Helping them refine their idea, giving them some thoughts and ideas on structuring, areas where maybe they're a little aggressive on either the revenue side or missing expenses. I think it's a team approach really to having a successful business. First, you need the entrepreneur, the idea, and the dream, and the desire and energy to make it happen. And then they need to surround themselves with a good team. They need a banker. They need a good accountant, and they need an attorney to help them draw up legal documents and contracts, and help give them advice to get started off on the right foot. I think that the team approach works well in helping to ensure the success of a business.
We have some friends that recently spent their they used their retirement fund, which is called a.
I think it was their 401.
Their 401. To buy a house. So the 401 account buys the house, and then when they sell the house, it goes back into the 401. So it really doesn't affect, it's like
sure.
a separate thing.
It's a rental property, so all the rent goes right back into the 401, so they don't have to pay taxes on that.
Is that a trend that's happening now? Or?
Well, there has been, I'd say over the last 3 to 5 years, kind of more of a trend towards using your retirement funds to buy real estate, whether it's a rental house or commercial real estate. The rules, though, the 401k rules really make it restrictive. You can have very little debt involved in the purchase of the real estate. And it's because the 401k plan was really promulgated back in the 60s by Wall Street and entice you to invest in stock market, not in real estate. And over time, it's evolved to allow you in real estate. But the rules are really restrictive in buying real estate. What you really need is a very good tax accountant and a good real estate professional that understands the intricacies of investing your 401k money into real estate, because you can't get any benefit. You can't get rent back. You can't go fix a property. You need to hire people to fix the property. Yeah, there's a lot of very tricky rules in using your 401k for real estate, which is actually too bad. As we work with our customers, you know, we get a chance to see the financial health of a lot of people. Real estate is a lot of their primary asset, and that's where wealth is really is created for many, many people in the country.
We've got to take a quick break here, but we come back. What about the reverse mortgage? Can you tell us a little bit about that too? Okay, Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Okay, quick on the reverse mortgages and then the future.
Yeah, reverse mortgages, you know, they've been around for 10, 15 years. They're good for a small portion of the population, but a very small portion of the population. If you're on a if you're on a fixed income and it's not making ends meet, you have equity in your house, you can tap that equity to help make, you know, create some level of income, some fixed level of income for a period of time. But I would only encourage that to people that have no other alternatives to raise the money, because it's an expensive way to go about raising income. It doesn't allow you to maintain equity in your home. It doesn't give you any rainy day money if you need it for an emergency. There is a small segment of the population that this is probably a very good tool for, but I think it's a very small segment of the population.
Okay. All right. Look in your crystal ball. Tell us what you think 2010 is going to look like.
All right. We talked a little bit about it earlier, but I think overall we're going to see.
Lift me up.
Yeah, we're not going to see 2009 all over again, or the end of 2008 when the stock market crashed. I think we're going to see stability in our stock markets. I think we're going to see our real estate prices stabilize. We've got some great deals out there for businesses that want to buy real estate that have prudently saved their money and waited for that day to buy a piece of property to expand their business in. There's financing available for the banks that don't have handcuffs on them right now. Some of the banks have gotten themselves in trouble and have handcuffs on them, but Five Star Bank and several other local banks have money to lend. And I think we see opportunity in 2010 that we haven't seen for some period, as far as business growth, business expansion. I think we're you need to be cautious. This isn't the roaring 20s or the roaring early part of this decade. But I think we see, you know, opportunity for growth, opportunity to take advantage of relatively low interest rates and cheap prices in real estate.
That's great. You know, let's we'll keep a close watch on this, and we'll get our monthly update from you, Eric.
Very good.
Every month, we'll think about.
So always be thinking
first
about
second Thursday of each month.
Right. Thinking. Always be thinking. Make your list. And you can always go in to see Eric, too. People in your bank are really great. They're over off of Hartnell across from the vet clinic.
Yeah, the veterans clinic. You know, some changes we've made in the show, by the way, is we've cut back on commercials on our breaks. And that's a conscious thing to do. You know, we've got a lot of sponsors and that we run through during the day and the evening. But we've cut back consciously to give us a little more time to talk on and give our, you know, to kind of, you know, to keep the show moving like this. Now, tomorrow we were going to have Josh Lowry on, who is running against Jerry Bonito for the Shasta County District Attorney. But Josh had called us a couple of days ago, and he's going to be in court all day. So, luckily, however, we got phone calls from Jim Nielsen and Senator Sam Onestad, who want to be on the show tomorrow. So they're going to be calling in Jim around 7:30, and Sam after 8 o'clock, 8:15, something like that. I know they're going to want to talk about the state of the state, but there's a good chance to ask them some questions. I've got a number of questions about how the state's being run and what can it be done to change it. And this is an election year. And the last thing is that Linda brought up, and it's a great little event out at Turtle Bay, you know, the scoop on poop.
It is good.
But it's getting ready to close down, so if you really, you know...
It's very scientific.
If you want to kind of go down and see, you know, a substitute for that, you could always go down to the legislature in Sacramento. And you can watch all the elephant and donkey poop.
Okay.
That's being produced down there, except, you know, it's being produced in metric tons.
Seriously.
In the house down there.
We're always taking your emails and your calls, and I'd love to hear from you. KCNR1460.com is our website. Love to hear your comments, guests that you'd like to have on. We're here to serve you. It is always open line. We'll see you tomorrow morning. This is KCNR1460. Not going to take a break yet, but what's your closing thought?
Well, you know, next week we've got a number of great guests on. You know, Jerry Benito is going to be on next week. We've got Kurt Dagg. He's going to be talking this Radical 10, which, by the way, is happening today at, I think, at 3 p.m. They're going to be talking about these ideas. He'll be on next week to talk about that. We're also going to have on a gentleman named Greg Winters, who is the chairman of the Democratic, the Shasta County Democratic Steering Committee here. We've got a vibrant Democratic Party in Shasta County, and Greg's going to come on and talk about you know, what's going on in Congress, what's going on here in Shasta County with the Democrats from the other side. Again, this is our community station here. This is the North State Station. It's for everybody, you know, so it's a opportunity to get all opinions in. Tomorrow we also want to talk about some of the things that are happening, not just here, but what's happening behind closed doors back in D.C. that's going to have a tremendous impact on us in the near future.
And I'd like to close on a positive note. Just when you think, oh my gosh, is it true about global warming and we're losing species? Well, just recently a new species of crab was discovered in Taiwan. It's called the strawberry crab. So always know, just around the corner, there's something new and exciting, and always keep thinking the world is a beautiful place.
Well, you know, it, the world, too, is that, you know, back in the Midwest, it's the temperatures are down at 50 below.
Lovely.
Florida is losing its crops due to frost. I think it was outside Orlando, it was like 18 degrees. I'm just saying is that global warming, you know, this is, even though that they're saying 2009 is going to be one of the warmest years in, you know, in record. Since 1880. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about on global warming, too. So this is an open line show. It's open for you all and everybody's comments.
Thank you, Eric, for being our guest today, and we'll see you in a month.
Thank you very much.
This is Carl Linda Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.